Well, we are in the midst of a conversation that we are calling the gospel. And the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, and it has the power to save. I'm thankful that there is good news in Jesus. We are in this room because there was something different about the news of Jesus. He said that he was coming and he was bringing something different. Now, the term gospel actually is not a religious term at the time. It was the idea that when a new king came into rulership, that there would be a messenger that would go from township to township proclaiming the news that there was someone new in authority and new in position. There was someone new on the block, and it is now his rulership. It was good news, or maybe bad news, depending on who it was. But we know that our God is good. And so when his news came that, hey, Jesus sits on the throne, it is good news for those who follow him. And the encouragement that I want to take from this morning is coming from a narrative in John chapter 11. You can prepare your Bibles there. We're going to read a few verses, and that's going to be the launch pad. But I want it to be an invitation to the gospel is not just a moment of salvation. Salvation is worked out. It's a process where we become more Jesus-like. There's a passage in Philippians that talks about Paul's personal mandate and mission towards the Lord. And he says this, I press forward towards the Lord. I pursue him because I know that even though I've been following for a little bit or a long time, it doesn't matter, that there's always more of God for me to have. I wonder if you have grown complacent in your Christianity this morning. There's an invitation. There is always more of God for you. There is a deeper revelation of the good news of Jesus Christ. I love to say this, that the Bible is like an onion. It's just like Shrek. Ogres are like onions. The Bible is like an onion. It has layers. Each time you peel one back, there's always something deeper, and generally there's tears involved. So there's a deeper revelation that God has for you this morning around his good news. Let's turn to John chapter 11, verse 38. Verse 38, but that's where we're going to start. But this is a passage where Jesus is encountering a family that he's familiar with. It is a passage where Lazarus, his friend, Mary and Martha, his friends, Lazarus is sick, and a messenger is sent to Jesus, and it says, hey, your friend is sick. And it's like doing the, hey, mate, why don't you come and help out a friend? He's sick. Come and heal your friend, right? If you can't heal your friend, what are you doing here? And he said, I love this family. So do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to not go yet. I'm going to wait 3 days and then I'm going to go. And he has strategy around this. And by the time he gets to the family, Lazarus has passed away. He's actually been put in the tomb already, and they are in the midst of grief. And so they come out to Jesus, Mary and Martha, and they said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. My brother has not had died. But then Jesus says this, well, I am the resurrection and life. There is something different that's going about to happen. And we pick this up at verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And he said this, take away the stone. But Lord, Mary, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. For he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So at that response, you better take away the stone. So Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you will always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of those who are standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice to that which was dead, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped up with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. He had grave clothes on. And Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Who knows that when you receive some sort of invitation to an event, that there's a very key piece of information that is nestled in that invitation that is called dress code. it is important to dress for the occasion. Now, if you're in Australia, you might perceive that flip-flops and board shorts are good for most things, but you need to dress for the occasion. You don't rock up to a wedding unless you're that guy wearing board shorts and flip-flops or thongs, because you need to dress for the occasion. Despite what many other Aussies believe, flip-flops are not steel-capped and therefore not irrelevant for a job site. Maybe in some other cultures, maybe we think they are, and we love to mow in them because we think they're great. It's a great idea. But you got to dress for the occasion. And there was actually the Japanese nuclear disaster in 2007 in Fukushima. I remember watching a documentary where they were going through the area post-disaster. And the person that was giving them the tour was actually a representative of some of the corporates that had stakeholders in this entity, in this area. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to deny how bad it actually was. And so whilst everyone else was suited up in all of the relevant protective clothing, dressed for the occasion, this person, because they wanted to show something from a public standpoint, refused to wear public or the protective clothing for the radioactivity and said, no, well, there's nothing wrong. Why would I wear any protection? And you know that they caught the result of that. But you got to dress for the occasion. If you're going to a wedding, wear wedding stuff. If you're going on a job site, you wear according to the job site. If you're going into somewhere dangerous, you dress according to the occasion. In this passage, there has been a miracle. A dead man has been risen to life. Jesus looked at that which could not breathe and gave breath to it. I am thankful that Jesus looked at my life and made a miracle out of my life. He did not come to make behavior modification. He did not make to come bad people into good people. He came to make dead people live. He came to save us and redeem us, an improbable task, an impossible task. The gospel is impossible, so Jesus comes and does it himself. And so a dead man has been risen. We are in Easter. We are in the couple of weeks after Easter. I think it's important that we do not rush past Easter. You do not graduate from Easter as a Christ follower. We do not get busy after Easter and then forget the redemptive power of the gospel that is in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are in this period now, historically, if we were in the first century, where Jesus would just be walking around in his flesh doing his thing. Like, there would be a period of him showing himself to his people, and then he gets ascended, and then there's a day called the Day of Pentecost where the Spirit is sent, and that's still coming on our calendar, and we'll celebrate that on a Sunday sometime in the future of some date that I don't know. But it is a period that we do not just rush past Easter and the message of Easter. Don't get too busy. I've lost where I'm at. Where am I? And so when we enter this scenario, we need to put ourselves in that tomb with Lazarus and saying, hey, that which was dead has been brought back to life. The tomb was moved, and now we have been called out by Christ to live in a new life in a different way. And Jesus gives a very specific instruction. Take off the grave clothes that belong to death, because this man is now alive. There was a relevancy to dress for the occasion. To dress according to who you are, not who you were used to be. There is an invitation in this passage that I'd want to open up this morning. The grave clothes have no place in the resurrection life. There's things that used to clothe us, to define us, to wrap around us, that have no place in your new life any longer. And what grave clothes were was it was tightly wound linen around the eyes, the face, the legs. And what it would do is it would restrict you if you're alive. It says, take off the grave clothes. Why? So he can walk in the life that Jesus has now given him. He can't be walking around with linen across his face anymore, blinded to the life that he's been given. He can't be walking around with something around his legs so that he is restricted to walk at the life that he's been given. Take off the grave clothes. In my life, I know that there was things that I had to take off in order to walk unrestrained in the life that Jesus has. And I know even now there's something in your life and in my life that we have inherited from our previous definition of death, but now we're alive, so let us take off the grave clothes. This morning is an invitation to walk according to the life that he has given you. There is some things that pre-Jesus made sense for your reality, but now you've been made different. As we are introduced to the gospel, there's things that need to change. Let me give you some examples of some grave clothes. How we speak. Are you still speaking like a dead man? Are you still speaking in a way that gives honor to the sin that used to entangle you rather than the resurrection life that now defines you? What leaves your mouth, and what is the flavor that people are left when they hear your words? Do people walk away having been lifted up? Or do they walk away thinking that you remind them of an anchor and a dead weight? Like, we need to be making sure that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that he lifted us up out of the grave, so we're taking people with us. Their complaint no longer has capacity in our language system. Because it's like, well, if God's good, I'm good. There is a shift in our reality, and there's grave clothes coming off. There's our words. There's the idea of shame, condemnation, things that used to have a ribbon around our body now get lost because there is a principle change. Grave's clothes, shame no longer defines you. Condemnation no longer defines you. Living according to the Spirit now defines you. Walking according to freedom now defines you. When we lose ourselves in things we like to escape it in, that no longer has place in your new life. That might be alcohol. That may be substance. That might be work. That might be, maybe it's something like gaming. Man, I just need to get away from it all. That might be pornography. It might be an addictive behavior. That might be scrolling. Whatever it is, when we need find the, when we feel the need to lose ourselves in something, it means that the Spirit is enough for us. So we got to put on some old grave clothes to feel covered. Could I say this, that insecurity is actually a grave cloth? That makes sense when you're defined by sin. Because insecurity is saying, I'm not enough, I don't have enough. You're right, sin, in that state of sin and death, you weren't enough. But now you're no longer defined by death, you're living in resurrection life. And so when we believe that, God, you haven't made me enough, we're actually not doubting ourselves, we're doubting the miracle of Jesus Christ. And we're saying, Jesus, your blood wasn't thick enough to cover my insecurity. Could we say that insecurity is actually a grave cloth that need to be pulled off our life? You know, unforgiveness is grave clothes. Man, how easy it, as soon as you put more than two people, that's more than one person in a room, let's face it, offense is coming at some point in the future. But Jesus said this, how will people know you? By the love you have for one another. Let's be unoffendable people. And when offense comes, let's be forgiving people. Let the church be known as a place where people come and maybe they step on people's toes. That's all good, but let it be defined not by the grave clothes of unforgiveness or the grave clothes of offense, but we have taken those things off and we put on a new self created to be like God, and that is forgiveness, because Jesus is on the cross and looks at the people that are killing him and says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Man, we're like, that guy cut me off. Jesus Christ, strike him down. Now that's grave clothes. We need to take off the grave clothes. The gospel is too good. Anger, fear, unhelpful key relationships, maybe inheriting concepts from like family things, maybe generational things that have been brought through. These are grave clothes that need to be peeled off our lives this morning. Could we take off the grave clothes? Let us be unrestrained in our walk of life and walk according to Him. So I got a couple of points, a couple of key factors that I need us to understand this morning in this journey, this taking off the grave clothes. And the first is this, that you have the right to life. You have the right to life. You know those, when you're watching the movies and they arrest someone, you have the right to remain silent. All these things, like there's human rights that give us entitlement to certain things. Your lease or your deed to your property gives you a right to live in that place legally. when you purchase a car and there's a transfer of ownership, that gives you right to own that car and drive that car. That's why it's not a stolen car. There's the idea of there's a right to your life. There's a right that you have. And in this story, this idea of resurrection and life, we understand that before Jesus, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin was death. And so death had a right over your life. Sin had a right over your life. But in steps Jesus, because He became death, He died to death so that we could live to His life. He died our death in our stead so that we can live in His life, in His way. It says that He came to give life and life to the abundant. It says that you were purchased at a price. The price of Jesus' life was paid for your life. You no longer have, death and sin no longer have the right to your life. You actually have a right to life through the Jesus Christ. So when something comes along and tries to remind you of the grave clothes, you can speak to that temptation, that mentality, that previous way of thinking, that previous habit, and you say, I'm sorry, but you don't have right to my life any longer. I have right to Jesus' life of the Spirit in me. Romans 6, chapter 4 says, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. We saw that. Publicly, we shared in 16 people getting baptized on Easter, hearing the testimony of what God had done in their life. And they were joined in Him in death in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may live a new life. You have a right not to remain silent, but to the life of Jesus Christ. That feels a bit more exciting than just coming to church. That feels a bit more exciting than just going to work or just doing life or the mundane things. No, you have a right to freedom. So Galatians says, walk in the freedom that Christ has purchased for you. You have a right to life. Tim Mackey says it this way, Jesus became what we are so that we could become what He is. So when you look at Jesus, you're not looking at some sort of God-walking dude that's just like, man, of course God can do that. You're looking at a working model of what you can become and what He has defined you to become. So when Jesus is tempted and resists it, you know that when temptation comes, you can resist it because you are made not to be the dead, but you are made to be the life. You have a right to life. You can walk according to His Spirit. So Jesus was enough for you. He bought you. You are children of God under a good Father, and it gives you the right to life. This is an understanding, a lens to which you put on like a set of glasses. Thank you for the illustration, my boys on the front here. A set of glasses to know that if you look at life through the lens of resurrection life, then you can start to see yourself as Jesus sees you, as God sees you. There is a right to life. We're skipping over all of that. Next thing we need to know about is this process of taking off the grave clothes. If you have a right to life, then here's the greatest freedom in my life. It's not about trying harder. It's about drawing closer. It's not about trying harder, it's about drawing closer. I graduated from UDNW years ago, and I graduated with a business degree. But who knows that when you try and get your first job in marketing or whatever it is, that you find this. You apply for things, and they're like, sweet, you have a business degree. I know it's your first job, but we really want 5 years of experience. You're like, I'm trying to get the experience. How am I supposed to get the job if I don't have the experience when I need the job to get the experience to get the job? There seems to be something backwards here. Like, how do I get this? The good news is that in this passage, we know that life comes first. So when the resurrection power of Jesus Christ flowed through Lazarus's body, which is a tongue twister of a sentence, life came first. So here's the secret for you. It's not about trying to be a better human after you meet Jesus. It's about staying connected to the Spirit and allowing Him to do the work in you, and you are participating with Him. This following Jesus is not like some sort of try-harder self-help program where you try and dismiss and push away everything else. If you try and just stop doing things, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. Man, I'm trying to eliminate my addiction. Well, you can't eliminate it. You got to replace it with something. The process of being redeemed and taking off the grave clothes is you got to put something else on. You can't just walk around naked. You can, but not in here legally. We're going to ask you to leave. Very quickly. But there's a replacement principle. You're not just eliminating it, you're replacing it. So you need to stay connected to the Spirit, because we know that the Spirit is the deposit in our life for that which God is going to do through us. He is going to clothe us with righteousness. He is going to clothe us in what it looks to be like Jesus. We know this because in Galatians 5, we get this principle. Galatians 5, chapter 16. So I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Notice that it says, stop trying to do the flesh and just stop it. So no, seek after the Spirit and the flesh will follow. It's not about trying to not do wrong. It's not about sin survival. It's about living in the resurrection life. For if the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, they are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do whatever you want. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 22, but the fruit, say fruit, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Man, I just got to be more peaceful. And I'm just really trying. In fact, I'm going to try so hard, it's going to make me anxious. Man, I just need more joy in my life. Can I just like grunt harder and feel more unhappy as I try and get the joy of the Lord in my life? No, he says the fruit of the Spirit. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, it was only by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that Lazarus was raised. Therefore, let us keep in step or walk with the Spirit. Take off the grave clothes and walk according to His patterns. It is the fruit of the Spirit. You got to draw closer, not try harder. In John 15, Jesus says this, that I am the vine and you just need to be connected to me. We don't take a dead branch off the ground and say, why aren't you producing fruit? Man, you just got to produce more joy. No, we go, man, I need to graft this into the source and stay connected to the source. And then the life that is from the source will produce the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit in me. And it's so easy to feel disconnected. But you are connected. You just got to return to the Spirit. Have you been trying so hard that you've forgotten that it is your birthright to life? Have you forgotten that it's not about trying harder, but drawing closer to the Spirit of God? The strategy for growing more like Jesus is finding ourselves on our knees, not trying harder, but identifying that the life of a Christian is impossible because we need the Spirit of God to give us the fruit of His life, His Spirit in us. I'm so thankful that our faith is not based on who I am, what I can achieve, what I can produce, but it is based on the character and the goodness and the faithfulness and the character of our God. And that didn't end at salvation. Salvation wasn't the only impossibility. Walking in the life of resurrection is constantly impossible all the time. It's not like, hey, we graduate the Spirit. No, we need the Spirit every single day. Paul says in Galatians that do not just start with the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit continually. Find yourselves connected to the Spirit of God. You have a right to life. Where has things crept up in your life that you've allowed it space, residency, a place, the grave clothes still linger because you think you're still dead? Now take off the grave clothes. Take off the anger. Take off the insecurity. Take off the unforgiveness. Take it off because that's not what God created you to be. There's a fruit through the Spirit of God, staying connected to the Spirit of God in your life. Stay free. Don't go back into the tomb. I remember having a vision as a teenager, and it was a scene in my mind, this sort of deep dark. For some reason, all the Bible happens in Lord of the Rings setting in my mind. This is how it is. But in this scene, there was a man weeping, sitting on the bench of a prison cell, crying because he's desperately aware that he is locked up and unable to move, except he wasn't. The door had been opened, the lock had been undone, and the shackles had been released, yet he was still living and sitting there in despair like he was still imprisoned. Don't enter the tomb again because you've been made alive. Don't act like sin still has a right over your life. Get angry at sin. Change yourself. His Spirit lives in you. Stay connected to Him. Why don't we stand this morning? Our faith is not based on who we are, but it is based on who He is. And I think this is not just a message for new Christians. You don't graduate Easter. We need to be reminded constantly of who He has made us to be. He is the clothes that you were entitled to. So I say, walk according to the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, it is joy, it is peace, it is forbearance, it is kindness, it is goodness, it is faithfulness, it is gentleness, and it is self-control. If any of those did not define you or a struggle in your life, then this morning, take off the grave clothes. They don't have right to your life any longer. Walk out of the grave, walk out of the tomb. And we're going to come in a moment of prayer, corporate prayer in this moment. We're going to come to Jesus and repent where we've been content with grave clothes. And we're going to ask for the courage to walk according to the Spirit and stay connected to the Spirit. Lord Father, we just honor you this morning. Father, whether we've made a decision to follow Jesus, if we haven't, there's an opportunity in a moment. But if we made a decision to follow Him 40 years ago, 4 weeks ago, 4 minutes ago, Lord Father, let us come to a deep revelation this morning that the grave clothes no longer have right over our life, that we are dressing to a new occasion, not of death and sin, but of the life of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in us. Lord, if love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, gentleness, self-control are not the things that we find ourselves clothed with this morning. Would you reveal the grave clothes? Lord, we're sorry where we've grown complacent or content with the struggle with sin when it no longer has right over our life. We come to you this morning, Lord, and we ask for your forgiveness, that we've doubted the power of your resurrection, that we've said that you were not enough when we just tried to stop sinning. Lord, let a deep revelation of the love of Christ and the power of his resurrection flow into our life this morning. And God, we want to stay connected to you. We don't want to just try harder to be better Christians. Lord, we want to follow Christ and stay connected to the Spirit. We want to see what you do and just do it after you. Lord, let us become more like you as we draw closer to you. And Lord, Father, we just pray for courage to confront the sin, to confront the habit, to confront the mindset, to confront the relationship that we separated from a long time ago, to confront the unforgiveness, to confront the offense and get angry at anything that is trying to take us away from the best that God has from us. Lord, to take off the grave clothes this morning. We bless your name.
Sorry, Cam, before you do the salvation invitation, this is unplanned, but just when you shared that picture of the man sitting in the cell, doors open, the shackles are undone. I'd love I think this should be everybody in the room, but for those of us that are really prompted and convicted by that, there's an area in our life that we know is there's freedom for, but we're not living in the freedom of that. I'd love for you to, I hope there are connect cards in the seat pockets. I'd love for you to pull out a connect card, and this is a practical application. I know for me, I need to sometimes do something to solidify something that's going on the inside. And so I'd love for you to grab anything that's in that pocket in front of you that you can write on and name it. Name that shackle. Name it. And on the way out, Quinton, if we can have buckets on the way out, I'd love for you to just drop it in the bucket. And say, this is my shackle that I've been sitting in for too long. And today the Spirit, I'm just getting in step with the Spirit, and I'm going to participate with the Spirit. I'm naming this today, and I'm going to drop it in the bucket, and I'm going to walk out of the prison cell. As I walk past that bucket, I'm actually walking out of the prison cell. So I'd love for you just to take a moment now to write that down, action that, whatever it might be. You might have a long list. You might have one or two things. And then just in that act of obedience, you know, we just sometimes need to do something in the natural to activate what's happening in the spiritual. So I want to encourage you to do that and hand it back over to you, Kim.
Awesome. There should be a pen. And if you don't, make sure to see the Yes Bar after, and there'll be some things, and you can spend a moment at the Yes Bar to separate yourself, write a couple of things down, and drop it in that bucket. Drop the grave clothes off. Start the new life. Start walking according to who he's made you to be this morning. As people are doing that, I just love to offer an invitation straight from the heart of God. This is not an invitation that a church provides. This is an invitation from Jesus Christ himself. Maybe you feel like you're still in the cell, you're still in the role, the tomb, still dead, still living, separate from God, still independent from the life of Jesus Christ this morning. Well, there's such an easy way. You just need to believe on him. You just need to acknowledge him, that I need Jesus. I need to come into my life to revolutionize my life, because I'm done with the way it was and I'm starting a new path. I'm saying yes to following Jesus this morning. If that is you, whether you're saying it for the first time or whether you need to come back, you found yourself walking away but you need to come back this morning. This is your invitation from the heart of God. Come follow me. The way we're going to do this is going to be super simple. I'm going to ask us to close our eyes in just a moment, and then I'm going to count to three. And on three, I want us to shoot our hands up as a moment for those who say, I want to follow Jesus. And at that moment, I'll see your hand. We get to identify it, and I'd love to invite you for a conversation with someone at the Yes Bar afterwards. If that's you this morning, every eye closed, unless you're writing, because that makes it difficult. If you're in this place and you're like, man, I can't even take off the grave clothes because I'm still separate from Him. I'm still living dead. My friend, there's life for you. He loves you. He's not here to condemn you. He's not here to shame you. He's come to send His Son to you for you because He is so in love with you. That's you this morning. You're saying, yes, I need to say Him. Come, I'm coming home. I'm coming out. Would you raise me to life this morning? As every eye is closed on the count of three, shoot up your hand like you mean it, like you need salvation, like you need it. I see your hand. Come on. Don't be shy. Don't wait for someone else to do it for you. Be aggressive around your need for Jesus this morning. Father, I thank you for that one hand that I saw. But God, if there's anyone else in the room, anyone online that was listening this morning and they responded to your invitation to come up out of that grave, Lord, I pray that they know that the old life is gone and the new life has come. Father, it might just seem like a moment in time, but everything has changed when they believed on you, Jesus. They would have been brought to life as they believed on you this morning. Father, they no longer call the slave to sin, but they're called the son or a daughter to God in Jesus Christ. So, Lord Father, we just pray that you would fill them with joy. You would fill them with a revelation of love, with the call of your Spirit. And Lord, a deep heart and a passion for your word this morning, for worship, to get connected with your people so that they can start to walk in step with your Spirit, to walk in community, and to work it out with others. So Lord, we bless your name and we celebrate this morning with those who said yes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're so glad that you are with us today. If you want support for prayer, or maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus, make sure you click the link below and make it a personal connection. Thanks for being with us. We can't wait to see you next time.